glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Welcome to Mark and Friends. I'm your host, Donna Leland, and we'll pick up our conversation with Arlene Pellicane. She is the spokesperson for National Marriage Week, and we're in it right now. It will conclude Saturday on Valentine's Day. Arlene is also the author, Making Marriage Easier, How to Love and Like Your Spouse, from Moody Publishers. Thanks again for being a part of Mark and Friends, Arlene.
So much fun to be on. Thanks so much, Donna.
Not only are you the spokesperson for this very... Arlene, when we left off last week, we were talking about husbands and spouses and not just seeing them as a resource. And also, I want to bring up this point. When I first got married, I was hearing other women and the way that they spoke about their husbands. And basically, they were trash-talking them behind their back. And I just thought to myself, I never want to do that. I wouldn't want him saying those things about me, so I'm not going to say them about him.
And I would encourage, like, take that trash talk, and instead of giving it to these women who love it and are feeding on it and love it, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bring it to God. Like, make it upward. Like, Lord, help me with this husband. And then let him, right, speak into this. And so what you're saying is so good. I think those complaints, when they go up to God, that's going the right direction. Read the Psalms. But when they go out to others, and we call it therapy, we call it letting off steam, we call it all sorts of things, but at the end of the day, it's just us being mean and complaining and grousing. So to change that culture in your friend groups to, hey, you know what? We wouldn't want our husbands just like standing around talking about us. Like, hey, what's one nice thing you actually like about your husband? Or what's one thing that attracted you to him in the first place? And be real careful to not turn that corner real fast and say like, oh, but he's like this now. No, keep it positive and try to change that culture of talking.
Because it will reap rewards.
Yeah.
And it will build your marriage and not tear it down. I always think the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish one tears it down. And to be with a contentious wife, it's better to be on the corner of the house, far away from her, is what Proverbs says. And we don't want to be that. We really don't. Marriages, they're so tested with hardship. And you, Arlene, you experienced some heartbreaking loss when you suffered a miscarriage. How did you and your husband work through that loss together?
Yeah, we had a hard time having children, and we got pregnant, and we lost a baby at 26 weeks. And so that was a hard loss. And I think, first of all, seeking God, and it might have looked, it wasn't like we were sitting there praying together all the time, but we were both, right, seeking the Lord and trying to ask for help from Him. So that was really helpful. Doing our best to, instead of like when a problem comes, to blame each other, like, oh, it's no, but to be united instead, like, hey, we both walked through this. You are the only other person who knows this pain. So let's unite. So instead of fighting each other, unite that, hey, we both know this. Let's walk together through it. Accepting that you grieve in different ways and in different timelines. So not expecting, you know, some days he'd be up and I'd be down, and other days I'd be up and he'd be down, and that'd be okay, right? And then the rule of faith, I think, was really big, is that we would kind of believe together, I bet the Lord will still give us another child. So when that crisis comes and you're going through it, I think the rule of faith also, whether God gives another baby, whether God just gives grace through it, but that faith to say God's going to get us through that makes a big difference as well.
That's so true. It really is. And like grieving, we grieved separate, you know, our loss. But I knew he was with me in it.
Yeah.
He did a silent grief, but I knew that this was something that he was walking through with me.
Yeah.
I think in any marriage, it's always good to go back in and reconnect with the feelings and the thoughts and the hopes and dreams that we had when we first said I do. And I want to play this song by Stephen Curtis Chapman. It had made a big impact, I know, in the era in which I got married, and then I was being a part of everyone else's marriages as the bridesmaid or the helper. And so maybe this song takes some of our listeners back to that first commitment, when we stood before witnesses and we said, I will be here for you.
Tomorrow morning, if you wake up and the sun does not appear, I will be here. If in the dark we lose sight of love, hold my hand and have no fear. 'Cause I will be here. I will be here when you feel like being quiet, when you
let's talk a little bit about serving our spouse. Serve one another in love. And what does that look like? You know, it's going to require some sacrifice most of the time. And it might, you know, sacrifice my own plans and position and, you know, my own well-being sometimes. But what is the distinction there between, you know, serving our spouse and, I don't know, maybe not taking it too far or taking it far enough?
Yes. Yeah. And really, it is the model of Jesus, right? What Jesus came to seek and serve, seek and save, but he came as a servant, right? He's going to empty himself, Philippians 2, and he's going to take the form of a servant. And Jesus was not a doormat. Mm-mm. Jesus didn't lose himself because right. he was a servant. It wasn't like, oh, he stopped being who he was because he became what the world wanted him to be because he was a servant. So we need to really kind of take that myth that, oh, if I serve my spouse, then I won't get my own way. I'll lose myself. I'll just become what he wants. I'll be this doormat. No, that's not what service is. So just look at Jesus. How did he serve? He kept with his mission. He kept, you know, nothing would detract him from the plans that God had for him and what he was going to walk in. But he is washing the disciples' feet. He is talking to women that other people wouldn't have talked to, right? He's serving. And so that, first of all, us to realize that the more I can learn how to serve, the more I am being like Christ. And even if my spouse doesn't acknowledge that I serve or serve me back right away or just gush about how great of a servant I am, that you would know God is watching you and your works will be tested. And you will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Isn't that funny? Good and faithful servant is mm-hmm. what you're hearing. So the more that you serve, you know, the better you're going to get at that. And you know that those accolades that you get from the Lord, that's coming. So even if you feel like, I hear this all the time from women, oh, I cook the dinner, I wear the pretty dress, I do all these things for my husband, but he doesn't say thank you. He doesn't notice. He doesn't move from the couch. And I'm so tired of it. And let me first of all say that is not fun and that is hard.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like, Lord, pray and Lord, bring my husband and make him more active and make him more responsive to me. So yes, pray and seek God on all those things. But even if he doesn't do anything, that you're still like, I'm going to still make you dinner and I'm going to still be pleasant to you because I made a vow and because I know God is watching me. So it's the little things like taking the coffee out of the microwave like you do for your husband. And it's the big things of, hey, even though you are a difficult person, I'm going to hang in there and I'm going to keep serving you as unto the Lord.
That's it. Do not become weary in well-doing, because in the proper season you will reap if you fail not. So, my dear, you've already put so much effort into this person.
Yes.
You know, we might as well keep going. Because the sowing and the reaping, it's a truth. And and think of what you already have reaped. You know, we have reaped good things. Children are good things. Experiences, commitment, stability. And so, it's been worth it. I just really want to encourage women. Again, there are exceptions to the rule, and there is abuse, and there's other issues. But I think for the most part, the men we're talking about who know the Lord Jesus, not perfect, but they want to do right by their family. There's just something God put in men who want to be the hero. They want to be the supplier. They do want to provide. And a lot of their identity is wrapped up in that. So as women, you know, let's not trample on that. Let's not stamp that down and discourage them. Let's promote them. And as the men who are listening today, women want to be loved. Mm-hmm. So find out what she needs to feel loved.
Yeah.
And let's get this done, because we have so much to work off of. We've got great history and so many things that are on our side. Now,
that reminds me so much. I have Dr. Emerson Eggerich on my Happy Home podcast, Love and Respect. And it's just that the women want that love and the men want that respect. And he said, most couples, like, no one is waking up in the morning storyboarding ways to annoy their spouse that day.
Yes.
You know, it's like none of us are trying to actively, most of us at least, to sabotage our spouse and to recognize that.
We mentioned that this is National Marriage Week. Arlene, tell us more about what people can find at marriageweek.org.
All of February 7th until the 14th, every night, you can go to marriageweek.org, and there is a free, amazing teaching that you can watch right then and there, or you can watch later. So Dr. Chapman will be doing one of them, but he would say that Carolyn, his wife, would leave all the drawers open in the kitchen, right? And it would just drive him nutty. Like, why do you leave all these open? And he would just get so mad and bent out of shape. And then finally one day he was like, you know what? It's not a big deal. I'll just come into the kitchen and I'll just close them myself. And he's like, I've been closing those cabinets, you know, for how many years? 50 plus years, right? So it's so funny. Like, you're going to hang up the shirts and Dr. Chapman's going to close the cabinets and it's okay. It's not a big deal.
Mm-mm. It's just an act of love. It really is. In the long term of things, it's an act of love. You also say there are so many benefits of, we know it, spouses praying together, studying the Bible, and serving in their church.
Yes. And so being in community is really important. And especially as you get older, when you're younger, and you have kids, maybe it's like, oh, there's so many people everywhere all the time, right? With your kids' activities. But as you get older, as you empty nest and you do these things, it's like, oh, we are not in community as much. And so serving in church together, going to worship service in person, not just watching it, you know, online, but going in person, being with other people, going to lunch with another couple, serving, whether it's the children or you're an usher, you're a greeter, whatever music, whatever area, if you can find a way to serve together, that's just another layer to build you, like, together with purpose is the theme of this year's National Marriage Week. It gives you this purpose together that's beyond just the two of you. And when you're serving, it really strengthens the marriage and keeps it fresh.
It does. We found that out. We found a teeny little church down here, just, you know, almost to the end of its little wick being smoldered out. And because we'd moved 4 years ago. So we found this little church and just began to serve alongside. And it has been so much fun. Mm. You know, he's using his giftedness. I'm using mine. And we're building into this precious little church. And it brings us closer together. You have things to talk about.
Yeah.
You have a common interest and you're building up the kingdom of God together. How much better does it get?
Right. Exactly. Now, time well spent.
Yeah, we don't do a lot of praying together, I will say that, or Bible study. We do listen.
I will actually say the same so that people will look at us and say, okay, they have, like, we're all human.
Yeah.
So just don't think like, oh, we've got our Bibles every morning doing this thing.
So, yeah, it looks different in every relationship, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. We don't have to be, you know, on the floor together, on our knees, you know, but that's okay if you do. Our hearts are on the floor, on their knees. It's just, it's hard to get up from the floor. So I would rather be in my lazy boy, you know, pouring my heart out to God. A little bit easier. Arlene, how can people get a hold of you and any information you'd like to share with them?
Yes, I have a Happy Home podcast where we talk about marriage and parenting, and I have wonderful guests, like I just referred to you, you know, Dr. Gary Chapman, Dr. Emerson Eggerich, etc. And then you can go to marriageweek.org to find out all the different things that Marriage Week can offer you to support your marriage, from conversation starters, date night ideas, and then a whole week's worth of broadcasts that you can watch absolutely free. You just sign up for them. So all of that is at marriageweek.org, and you'll also find my book, Making Marriage Easier, there.
And we really appreciate you taking part of your busy day and just sharing with us your heart and your love for marriages.
It's been so much fun, Donna. Thank you so much.
Every great relationship starts with friendship. Thanks so much for listening to Mark and Friends. We're a ministry of Great News Media. And don't forget, Jesus is the lover of your soul. Have a great day. Happy Valentine's Day.